Funding for student phenology is provided in part by the Minnesota Environment and Natural Resources Trust Fund. Phenology talkbacks are produced by Charlie Mitchell.
Our first report is a surprise. Chad Kaditz, our partnering phenology teacher from Little Falls Middle School, sent us a summer update.
Hi, John and Charlie. This is Chad Kaditz from Little Falls. It feels like forever since I've touched base. I thought I would check in with a little summer report. Kids have stayed active this summer. They've been submitting a lot of pictures for our Instagram page. So if anybody's available to check that out, if you look up Little Falls Phenology, you'll find our photos on Instagram. That's definitely been a lot of fun. The big change we've seen around here in Little Falls is that we have definitely moved from our springtime flowers into our more summer mode flowers. So in the spring, we had so many of the little more delicate, a little more showy, kind of our spring ephemerals and flowers like that, a lot of different colors. Now we're getting into a little more of our hardier flowers, maybe a little smaller, not a lot of variety in colors. It seems like everything is either purple, white, or yellow, especially with kind of the prairie flowers that we still get around here in Little Falls. So that's been a definite change. I did hear Charlie talking last week about watching some of the families of birds, and that's one of the things that I've noticed too, is we have a group of obviously cardinals and chickadees that have been hanging around the feeder, but also a group of house wrens, and there are four gray catbirds that hang out here every day, and it's kind of fun to watch. They like to hide out underneath the juniper shrub right outside the windows in our basement, so I get to watch them quite a bit. The one thing I've paid a lot of attention to, been kind of fascinated with this last week, are some of the insects that are hanging around on plants, and two of them in particular. And one of them is more of a pest species than anything else, but it's something I've never paid that much attention to, but the Colorado potato beetles. We have a lot of bittersweet nightshade growing around our house, and they are just covered in several generations of these Colorado potato beetles, from the larva to the adults, and they're a bizarre looking creatures. The adults are actually kind of an attractive, almost a beige cream colored beetle with dark stripes, and the larva look like something out of a Muppets or a science fiction creation. They're bizarre, but they are devouring the nightshade plants. I'm really curious what will happen to all of them when those plants are gone, because they're not going to last forever. The other one is there's some spotted knapweed I was looking at, and when I got a closer look at it, I noticed that it top had several of these little weevils, and I key them out, and they're called seedhead weevils. And every flower of knapweed that I found had two or three of these weevils on them. And apparently what's happening is they are adults laying eggs on those knapweed flowers, and then the larva will end up feeding on the seeds of the knapweed, and then they'll turn into adults, and then they'll overwinter kind of in the leaf litter around where the knapweed grows, and then come back next year. But that's another thing that, you know, I'm not gonna say I've never seen them before, but I've definitely never paid close attention to them. So I would recommend to anyone who gets a chance to get out there, look at some of the flowers and plants that are growing and blooming around their house, and get a close-up look and see if there's any other organisms living on them. All right, well, that is my short report for this week. I hope everybody's having a fantastic summer, and I hope to touch base with you guys again soon.
Wow, thank you, Chad. What a great report. Lots of good information in there. You know, the couple of things. One, the fact that he's watching the catbirds, and he's watching them from a juniper. And a juniper shrub. And we had a juniper shrub in our yard for many years. Finally, it just outgrew its neighborhood and we had to get rid of it. But it was an absolute magnet for catbirds. There was a nest of catbirds in that shrub every year for 10 years straight. They just love those shrub junipers, and they're a very good place to hide. I mean, you had to look really hard to find the nest in there, but I definitely made the connection between the shrub junipers and catbirds. So if you have a shrub juniper, give it a close look. And the catbird is all gray and probably best recognized by its call. But if you get close enough, or if you're lucky enough and you see them fly, they have this little patch of sort of chestnut red on their rump, and it's quite definitive and quite beautiful. So give the catbirds a look. The potato beetles on the deadly nightshade, or the, what did he, I think it was, it's one of the nightshades anyway.
Bittersweet nightshade.
Yeah. So the potato beetles, the bittersweet nightshade is in the same family as the tomato. And I don't know if Colorado potato beetles go on tomatoes or not, but I have seen them, of course, on my potato plants, and I've seen them on the nightshade as well. They are, as Chad described, pretty beautiful. They're the dark stripes that he talks about, in my light, in my eye, looks like a deep green. So you've got this sort of khaki colored bug with these deep green stripes down its back, and they're really quite lovely, but of course also kind of a damaging thing for your garden, and especially if you're trying to grow some potatoes. I guess if they got on my nightshade, I'd be like, oh, well, dine heartily. Yeah, anyway. So that's from Chad. Chad's in Little Falls. We appreciate that report. Thank you, Chad. Our next report comes from Hartley and Eddie during their trip to Sugar Lake Lodge.
Hi, my name is Eddie, and I'm from Egan. I'm going into fifth grade at Faithful Shepherd Catholic School. Oh, yeah, I'm visiting Sugar Lake Lodge. Today, I was going around the property, and I saw damselfly, the dragonfly, and I found a leopard frog that was massive. Found the spotted touch me not, and it helps with bug bites a lot.
Hi, my name is Hartley. I'm from Egan, Minnesota. I am going into fourth grade at Faithful Shepherd Catholic School. I am visiting Sugar Lake Lodge, and today I saw a bunch of frogs, and I saw a dragonfly that was 12 spotted skimmer dragonfly, and we tried to catch it, but it was too fast. And then we ate these little tiny apples, and they were like super sour, and they were these plants that were shaped like hearts, and then we ate them, and they were also super sour. And then we found some plants that are called touch me not, and they help with bug bites, and they just like heal them.
Thanks, Hartley. Thanks, Eddie. Nice to chat with you guys. I had a great time hiking with you, and I'm really proud of you for submitting this report. You did a nice job. I love the description of the leopard frog, and it was a big leopard frog, massive, he says, and massive it was. It was a nice, healthy specimen of a leopard frog, and lots of the 12 spotted skimmer dragonflies out right now, and those are the ones with the black and white patterns on their wings. So if you see this dragonfly sort of fluttering by, look at the wings. If you see white and black dots on the wings, that is our 12-spotted skimmer. It's a fairly large dragonfly, pretty easy to see, but not, as they said, not easy to catch. And the plant with the heart-shaped leaves that was super sour, that is, of course, wood sorrel. And you probably have some growing near you. It's a great addition to a salad if you're looking for a little spice in your salad, a little lemon zest in your salad. Why, pick some of that wood sorrel and throw it in there. You won't be sorry. Our next and final report this morning comes from the Neustock family, who have returned to the Grand Rapids area for their summer. Pearl, Axel, and Ruth bring us their report.
Hi, this is Ruth,
Axel,
and Pearl Neustock.
We have seen two foxes and the beaver almost every evening. The loon is still sitting on her nest. We wonder what the average date is that the loon chicks hatch.
We've seen many daisies, some black-eyed Susans, and many hummingbirds at the feeder. We've also seen yellow and white water lilies.
Last week, we saw our first raspberry, and there's been a bear sighting on the other side of our lake. We are so glad to be listening to KAXE again for the rest of this summer.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you, kids. What a great report from those guys. Good to have you back in the Northland. We profit from your experiences. We love to hear from you. And lots of fun things going on. Loons and foxes and lots of flowers to check out. And the beavers active on the lake. It's a good time to be in northern Minnesota for sure. So come this way if you'd like. We'd love to have you. I got a note last week from Wanda, and Wanda was asking about robins, and she had some data from her own experience that she talked about, and how many robins, she wondered how they do, and I did some looking, some checking, and it turns out that about 40% of the robins' eggs are hatched. So 4 in 10 of the robin's eggs are hatched, and about 25% of that number actually make it through to November. And if they are alive in November, there's a very good chance that they will be alive throughout the rest of the winter and probably back again next summer. So there is a fair amount of casualties among those, but you know, the robins only really, every pair of robins only really needs to produce one offspring in order for the population to maintain. So they're doing pretty well. And I think that Wanda, your adventure through your yard with your 4 or 5 nests and robins, you'll have some pretty good data to give to us later when we find out more about how successful your robins were.
And one more note from Lisa on the East Range reported that she found chanterelles budding 3 weeks earlier than normal.
Wow, the chanterelle is a lovely and a delicious mushroom. But as always with mushrooms, you know, get the opinion of an expert before you eat any mushroom at all. They can be... you know, some of them are delicious and some of them are one time will do you. So be sensible.